Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
In our fallen world, it's hard to believe that we'll ever see a time of peace and prosperity on earth. But God's word assures us that such a time is coming. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah shares more about the millennium. It's a thousand-year period of peace under the reign of Christ on earth. To introduce the conclusion of his powerful message, What on Earth is the Millennium?, here's David.
We told you yesterday, mille means 1,000, annum is the word for year, so millennium is 1,000 years. In the book of Revelation, in the 20th chapter, that term is mentioned several times, the 1,000 years, the 1,000 years. The Bible tells us that there's coming a day after the tribulation period when King Jesus will set up his kingdom on this earth, and for 1,000 years he will reign and rule on planet earth. And those who have followed him in this life, who have served him as his servants, the Bible says they're going to serve with him. You and I, as Christians, if we have trusted the Lord and walked with the Lord, we're going to have places of authority and responsibility during the rule and reign of Christ on planet earth. So many things are written about this that we don't take very seriously, but the Bible tells us this is going to be a time when a lion will lie down with a lamb, when they will beat their swords into plowshares, when governments will study war no more. It will be a time of incredible peace under the leadership of King Jesus, and reigning with him as his vice regent will be David from the Old Testament. During that time, that will be a blessed time on earth. There won't be any long-term issues with injustice or wrong. If somebody does something wrong, the prosecutor will be Jesus, the judge will be Jesus, the sentencer will be Jesus, and the crime will be absolutely perfectly adjudicated, and the penalty will be carried out immediately. Yes, there will be evil during the millennium. Those who go into the millennium will be godly, righteous people, but they will have children. How many of you know there's no guarantee when you have children that they're going to grow up to love the same Lord that you did? And so there will be much unrighteousness toward the end of the millennial period. But King Jesus will reign over it with righteousness, and short accounts will be kept. Well, I want us to get into the last part of this message, What on Earth is the Millennium? So open your Bibles to Revelation 20, and let's discuss this some more.
The Old Testament scriptures are absolutely, totally ununderstandable if there is no such period as the kingdom, because most of the prophecies of the Old Testament, in fact, Dwight Pentecost, who is a tremendous scholar of prophecy, said, there is more information about the millennium in the Bible than any other prophetic event in all of the scripture. We push it off to the side. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's sort of controversial, so we avoid it. But the Bible says in the Old Testament that such a time is coming. And you listen to what the scripture says. Psalm 72:11. All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Isaiah 60:21. Also your people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Zechariah 9:10. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Luke 1:32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Without the kingdom, without the millennium, none of those could be fulfilled. Those prophecies all say there's coming a day when King Jesus is going to rule over this earth as it is now, with his saints as co-regents with him. And it's going to be a rule of righteousness and peace that will last for 10 centuries, for a millennium. Why does there need to be an earthly kingdom? Because Christ will come back and triumph on the very earth where he was seemingly defeated by his enemy, his rejection by the rulers of the world. Remember, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He will come back to the very earth where he was rejected, and this time there will be no rejection, and it will be when he comes again to rule this world in righteousness. He will at last pick up his inheritance, and he will be the king everyone had hoped he would come to be when he came the first time. Do you remember when Jesus came at Bethlehem? And he started out and his disciples began to realize who he was in some fashion. They wanted to know, is the kingdom going to be now? They weren't really interested in Christ being the ruler of the world. They wanted to get the Romans off their back. They wanted him to come and set up the kingdom. But Jesus said, not now, but someday. And it's in this period of time that that's going to happen. So there needs to be a millennium to reward the people of God and to respond to the prophets' predictions. Here's an interesting one that's just really simple. And that's to receive the answer to the disciples' prayer. Do you remember the disciples' prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Has that ever happened? Has his kingdom ever come and his will been done on this earth as it is in heaven? Not yet, but it's going to. One day when Jesus returns, his kingdom will come and his will be done on this earth, even as it is now being done in heaven. When the disciples prayed that the kingdom would come, they were looking forward to this very time we're talking about, called the millennium. So the millennium is necessary to reward the people of God and to respond to the prophets' predictions and to receive the answer to the disciples' prayer. And finally, the kingdom is necessary, and I want you to listen carefully because I don't want you to lose this. It is necessary to reemphasize man's depravity and the necessity of Christ's death. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible says that at the end of this 1,000-year period of time when Jesus is running the whole world, and Satan, if you remember, he's bound for 1,000 years. Do you remember reading that in Revelation 20? Satan is bound for 1,000 years. He's incapacitated. But if you read the text, it says at the end of the millennium, he's going to be released. And there will be one final rebellion. You say, well, where is the ungodliness going to come from? Well, only godly people will go into the millennium. But guess what? They're going to have kids. How many of you know righteousness is not inherited? How many of you know God doesn't have any grandchildren? He only has children. So the kids born to the righteous people in the millennium, some of them will become unrighteous. And at the end of the millennial period, in spite of all that has happened during the reign of Christ on this earth, in spite of all the righteousness that has been legislated, at the end of the millennial period, there will be a final rebellion against God. What does that say? It says that our problem is not our environment. Amen? Anybody ever tell you that the problem we have in our world is our environment? If we could just educate everybody and get everybody straightened out and change the environment, everybody would be better? Well, I want to tell you something. God put two people in a perfect garden, and they rebelled. And at the end of the world, he's going to run a world for 1,000 years in peace and righteousness, and at the end, there'll be a rebellion there. Why? Because the heart of man is evil. And it's not a problem of our environment. It's a problem of our nature that we inherited from Adam when he sinned against Almighty God. So the millennium will prove, once somebody will stand before God at the great white throne judgment and say, Lord God, I just didn't have the right environment. And the Lord's going to say, I gave you 1,000 years of perfect peace and righteousness and you still rebelled. Depart from me, I never knew you. We've had 3 perspectives on the millennium, 4 purposes of the millennium, and now we have 5 profiles of the millennium. What's it going to really be like on this earth? And all I can do here is just tell you what the scripture says. What will it be like? Can you imagine in your greatest fantasy what it would be like on this earth if all sin were removed? If all rebellion were removed? If all unrighteousness were removed from what you know of the earth as it is today? First of all, it'll be a time of great peace. A time of great peace. That's the first profile. Did you know, this is kind of a joke to me, but when I see it, did you know that right across the street from the United Nations building, there is a statue, and on the statue are these words, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. The United Nations is supposed to make that happen. Not. It's not going to happen through the United Nations. That will really only happen when Christ rules the earth. That which the world has longed for so long will become a reality. Only then will the angel's message be fulfilled that he gave to the shepherds on that night outside of Bethlehem. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. All man-made implements of mechanized warfare will be eliminated. Even the natural kingdom will be at peace. Now, are you ready for a scriptural tour? Here we go. Hang on. Psalm 72:7. In his days, the righteous will flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Micah 4, 2 and 3. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, the wolf will also dwell with the lamb. This peace even extends to the animal kingdom. And the leopard will lay down with the young goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It will be a time when war will be utterly unknown. Not a single armament plant will be operating. Not a soldier or sailor will be in uniform. No military camps will exist. Not 1 cent will be spent for armaments of war. Not a single penny will be used for defense, much less for offensive warfare. Can you imagine such an age when all nations shall be at perfect peace and all the resources of the earth will be made available for enjoyment and all industry engaged in the manufacture of the articles of a peaceful luxury? That's the way it'll be. It'll be a peaceful time. I know everybody says, is that possible? Not here, not now. Not until Jesus comes and sets up his rule on this earth. And then it'll be a time of prosperity. Everybody's into prosperity. At least that's what I've observed by watching television. Everybody's into prosperity. Well, this will be a time of prosperity like you cannot imagine. Once again, listen to the word of God. Ezekiel 34, 26 and 27. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. Ezekiel 36 again, I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. The desolate land will be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by, so they will say. The land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. In other words, the cycle of reproduction in terms of the harvest will be so short that while the guy's out there harvesting, the plowman will be right behind him planting. It'll be eternal production of food. And the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, the mountains will drip with sweet wine and the hills will flow with it. Zechariah 8:12, the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give her due. Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The millennium will be a time of peace, a time of unbelievable prosperity. And then it'll be a time of purity. Sin will be kept in check and disobedience will be dealt with. Christ's kingdom will be a holy kingdom. Isaiah 11, 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 25, 9, and it shall be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 66, 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Zechariah 13, 2, it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. They shall no longer be remembered, and I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It will be a time of peace. It will be a time of prosperity. It will be a time of purity. Now, here's one I like. It's going to be a time of prolonged life. People are going to live longer. You know, if you study the Old Testament, and I have a chart in my Bible, maybe you have one in yours too, that shows how before the flood, people used to live to be really old. But when you get to the flood in Genesis chapter 6, something happens. 900 doesn't happen anymore. It starts going down and down and down until you get to kind of where we are now. 130 was old then, as it would be today. Many people believe that the flood changed the nature of the earth so that the canopy that protected us from the ultraviolet rays was contaminated, and so our ability to live long on the earth was destroyed. But in the millennium, watch this, in the millennium, everything that happened before the flood in terms of the longevity of humanity will return. Let me just give you one verse that's amazing. Isaiah 65:20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. Now just get that last phrase. When you are 100 years old, if you die, they will say he was a child. All of you who are working on 100 right now, doesn't that feel real good? Someday I'm going to be called a child again. And I'll be 100 years old. And people will live to be 700-800 years. Some of them will live a great portion of the millennial period under the reign of Christ. Prolonged life. And finally, it will be a time of personal joy. The millennium will be an exhilarating era of happiness and contentment and joy. It will be the answer to many of the anguished prayers of the Jews and many of the heart's hopes that are represented here today. Once again, just a multiplication of scriptures. Are you ready for this stream of Word of God coming to you from the Old Testament? Listen to this. Isaiah 9:3, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 14:7, the whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Isaiah 25:8, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all of their faces, the rebuke of his people, and will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 30:29, you shall have a song, and in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Isaiah 42:10 through 12, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages of Kedar inhabitants and the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise to the coastlands. From several passages in the Old Testament, and these are just representative few, you get this impression that the millennial time is everything we have always heard it would be, even if we didn't know the Bible, a time of great joy and prosperity and purity and a time of peace and prolonged life. And King Jesus will be reigning and ruling on the throne of David, which will be in the city of Jerusalem. And out of Jerusalem will flow this wonderful reign of peace over all the world as we know it today. Can you imagine? Whoa. How many of you didn't know all this? Isn't it interesting to see what God has planned? And listen to me now. Here's the kicker in the whole deal. You ready for this? This is just the prelude to heaven. This is the overture of heaven. You know, when you go to a concert or a big symphony, the orchestra plays an overture at the beginning, and it has a little snippet of all the different songs that are in the program. And you sit there, and the orchestra has put this thing together, and it gives you sort of a picture of what's to come. Well, the millennium is an overture of heaven, and it gives you just a little picture as you study it of what heaven will be like, not just on this earth, but on the new heaven and the new earth. And this same King Jesus will be in charge, and all sin and all death will be eliminated. And everything that's true about the millennium will get kicked up another level, and into the eternal state we go, celebrating forever and ever with King Jesus. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus came the first time to become our Savior, and he's coming the second time to become our King. The coming of Christ to set up his kingdom will be so much different than the first time that he came. He entered the world the first time in swaddling clothes. He will reign the second time in majestic purple. He came the first time as a weary traveler. He will return the second time as the untiring God. When he came, he had nowhere to lay his head. When he comes back, he will be revealed as the heir of all things. Once he was rejected by tiny Israel, When he returns, he will be accepted by every single nation. Once he was a lowly Savior, acquainted with grief, then he will be the mighty God, anointed with the oil of gladness. Once he was smitten with a reed, then he will rule the nations with the rod of iron. Once wicked soldiers bowed the knee in mockery, then every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Once he received a crown of thorns, then he will receive a crown of gold. Once he delivered up his spirit in death, then he will be alive forevermore. Once he was laid in a tomb, then he will sit on a throne. King of kings, Lord of lords, that's Jesus. And that's the millennium. And it's a fact that will be impossible for us to mistake if we read the scripture. Do you remember the commercial? I think it was for some kind of an oil filter. And the guy got on the screen and he said, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later." And they showed the engine kind of coming unglued because he hadn't taken care to make sure the oil was clean. He said, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later." Say that. Pay me now, or pay me later. Well, I want to tell you something. Almighty God has put together a program just like that. Do you know what it says in Philippians chapter 2? Philippians 2, 10 and 11. This is what it says. Let's read it out loud together. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What does that say? It says one day in the kingdom and before the white throne judgment, the Bible says every single knee of every single person on this planet will bow their knee before God and say for the final time and without any hope of the future, "You are Lord and you are King and you are worthy. You're exactly who they said you were." But by that time, it'll be too late. When you get to that place in the prophetic scheme of things, it's beyond hope. You cannot become a Christian. Your opportunity is over. Now, here is the pay me now or pay me later application. Jesus says, one day, everyone's going to bow. You have no choice as to whether or not you will bow before the Lord. You will either do it now, voluntarily, in obedience and in humility, or one day you will bow before Him, and you will acknowledge that He is King. How much better it would be for all of us that we have said, "Lord God, I believe who You are. I believe Your Son, Jesus, is the Savior of the world. I accept You as my Savior. I bow before You as my Lord. I receive You into my heart. I bow my knee to You, Lord Jesus." When you do it now, you will never have to be forced to do it later, because it will be the most natural and normal thing that ever comes to your life, to love and worship and adore Him.
Amen. Amen. Well, we come to the end of this week, and we come to the end of our discussion of the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Next week, we're going to talk about the children, one of the most often asked questions by parents who have lost little ones in untimely death is, what about my child? Or what about people who have aborted a child? What happens to that infant, that person who was prematurely taken out of life? We're going to talk about that on Monday and Tuesday. This is a very important message. It is perhaps the most requested message out of this series that we're doing here on the Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. Part of the reason for that is hardly anybody talks about it. And I believe there are certain things in the Bible that tell us the answer to these questions, and we're going to talk about those on Monday and Tuesday. I hope you'll be with us. And then, friends, don't forget to go to church this weekend. Many of you are going back to church, or you've been back in a short time. I hear people talk about how they got comfortable with the stay-at-home services. You can't allow that to happen, because even though that was a good substitute, it is not church. Church is gathering together. That's what the Scripture teaches. So get together with your believers. Get together with your brothers and sisters. Go to church. Be an encouragement to your pastor. Do what you have to do to be safe. But as soon as it's possible for you to get back to church, that's what you need to do. That's what I've been telling our folks. And we're looking forward to it with great anticipation. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll see you next time right here on this good station. I'm David Jeremiah.
Our message today originated from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Senior Pastor Dr. David Jeremiah. Please write and tell us how God is using Turning Point in your life. Write to us at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California 92163. Or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Now when you do, ask for your copy of David's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, to be better informed about your amazing eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard and New International versions, and in standard or large print in the New King James, loaded with helpful notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us Monday as we continue the series Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.